You are. all take our hymn books once again, stand and turn to 345, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. 345.
Let's stand this morning as we sing 345. Number 345, let's sing it out this morning.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, God unbounded grace that poured, and the blood of the Lamb are still.
This time we'll have a special for Mrs. Swan.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Day star shine down on me, let your love shine through me.
Bibles this morning, please turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. On Wednesday nights for quite a while now, we've been studying through the book of Galatians, and because of vacation and because of a missionary taking some Wednesday nights, I wasn't able to finish by the 1st of September like I had hoped, and several Wednesdays in September, and I think this will be exciting for you. The first six or seven Wednesdays starting September, Pastor McDonald's going to be taking every Wednesday night. I'll be working with the young people in the new activity that we're doing with them, trying to get that off the ground with Mr. Baker. And so Pastor McDonald will be speaking the next several Wednesday nights starting on September 4th. And this week, of course, there is no Wednesday night prayer meeting, but we do have Vacation Bible School, and we'd like you to come and be a part of that. And you'd be a blessing to you if you'd like to come and enjoy that. Unfortunately, it's sad that we don't have Mrs. Vogel
here to do any of the acting parts this year. Last year she stole the show, but they're in California right now taking their children to college, so pray for them. But this week's VBS, so pray for that, and I know it'll be a great time, but come Wednesday night and support what folks are doing with our young people, and it'll be a blessing to you, I am sure. So we weren't able to finish the book of Galatians, long story short, when I would hope to. So this morning we're going to preach the first 10 verses of Galatians 6, and if the Lord is willing tonight, we'll finish it, the last several verses. But there is a promise. We're in our Standing on the Promises series, and our promise this morning is found in verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That sounds like a promise to me, and one that we're going to look at this morning. So let's back up to verse 7. Let's get the context of the chapter. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let's pray together. Father, we need your help, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless us this morning with your Holy Spirit's presence as he teaches us and guides us. Lord, we surrender to you, and I pray that you'd help me. Fill me with thy Spirit as I try to communicate the truths of your word. Father, help us to leave here changed, having learned something more about your promises, especially that we should just keep going for the Lord, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Help us, Lord, we pray, as we apply the scripture to our lives, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The prerequisite, though, to reaping is sowing. I think that's pretty easy for most of us to understand. Simcoe is largely a farming community, and so we understand what it means to sow and to reap. I remember growing up on my grandfather's farm and planting potatoes and corn and melons and squash behind our home, and every spring you could hear mom say, "Oh, I see the things are sprouting a little bit, and things are beginning to come up." And so we begin to see those things as they would grow. And we had a little personal garden as well, and I can remember the things sprouting. I always liked it when the peas came up, because I like to eat those right off the thing raw, or we could pull a carrot out and just wash it off and eat it right out of the ground. And that was always a blessing to see things grow, but those things did not magically appear. Somebody had to do the work to till the ground and to sow the seed. And I want you to know that as we sow seed, again, this is very simple and easy to understand. It's not profound by any means, but what you sow is what you're going to reap. At least you hope so. I can remember one time my grandfather must have gotten some different seed that he wasn't expecting, and we went out to get some, well, I can't even remember what it was, but whatever it was, and it was a different type of squash or a different type of melon than what he thought he had planted or what he had purchased. Now, the field, all the rest was fine, but just this one small section was different. That's a surprise. This year, I had to purchase some grass seed. I won't tell you what brand it is, because I don't have anything good to say about it, to be honest with you. But I bought a well-known grass seed. My yard had been taken over by grubs. And so once the Japanese beetles hatched and they came out, and now we can try to treat that at this time of year, but I put some black soil, I put some seed down all over my yard, and then I back raked black soil all over the top of it, and it sprouted pretty well. It came up pretty well. Except on the bag, it said this, it said 95% grass seed, 5% possibly weeds. Well, I suppose they say that to be safe, right? That there might be a small element of weed that got in there, mixed in there. I'm going to tell you this, it is 95% weeds. It has just come up, and so that's a little bit frustrating, because what you sow, you're hoping you'll reap. You're hoping that's what will come up, and the bag says grass seed. You know there might be a small percentage of some bad seed got in there, what have you. I've driven down the highways, and every once in a while you'll see those soybean fields with stalks of corn sticking up every once in a while. Well, the seed got mixed somehow, and we can see how that might happen. But I'm telling you, it's frustrating when we reap what we don't sow. But the Bible gives us a promise. It says, God is not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. Now, there is a broader application than just
farming. You understand that, right? And so when we are sowing, we have to understand that we are investing. That's what sowing is. Isn't that what it is, farmers? You're investing in the hope that you'll get a return at the end of the year. You're putting something in the ground in faith, hoping that it'll return. And to be honest with you, that's dependent on all kinds of factors, isn't it? It's dependent upon the weather, largely. If we get a frost too late in the year, I know that the farmers will lose all their cherries. And things like that. So we are dependent upon a lot of things. But here, friends, all we are dependent upon is faithfulness. We are stewards of what God has given us, and it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And if we are faithfully sowing, the promise that we find in God's word is this: let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, keep sowing good, keep investing good. And the Bible says, and for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So that's the promise. I'm going to tell you this. Every Sunday school teacher ought to have this verse underlined in your Bible. Every bus worker ought to put a star beside it. You ought to hang it on your fridge if you're working with any part of ministry whatsoever. Because sometimes ministry seems long and tedious and hard, and sometimes it even feels like it is fruitless, and we wonder if we are doing anything. God promises this: don't get weary, don't get tired, keep pressing forward in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, as we're thinking about this topic this morning, I'm going to take a drink this time. As we're thinking about this, we have to consider, is it worth it? Is the return I'm getting on my investment worth the effort I'm putting into sowing? Well, I'm here to tell you a couple things. First of all, sometimes we never see the harvest ourselves. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. I've told you about Mrs. Ames. Just last Sunday, I was talking about Mrs. Ames, 95 years old, accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. I preached to her for 10 years. She sat in the back seat of my car many times coming home from a meeting saying, what does this mean to be saved? And we went over the gospel time and time and time again, and I just kept planting seed and fertilizing and watering. But friends, it was Jason Eagles that led her to the Lord. He said, well, that must really bothered you. No, praise the Lord, she got saved. We just have to keep planting and watering and sowing. God's going to give the increase when he's ready. In due season, we shall reap. We may not get to see it. We may not get to know it. Listen, you might not even know about it. Do you know that I expect that there's going to be people in heaven that come and say, listen, I got saved because of the investment you made into missions. Do you ever think about that? You know, there's missionaries this morning. We support 66 missionaries on the foreign field. And you know that I gotta believe with all my heart that there's some getting saved in those churches this morning. Wouldn't you agree with that? Miss Britton, we support some in India. Wouldn't you be thrilled to know that there's probably some getting saved in India this morning? There's some, we support missionaries in Australia, and I'm hoping they're already in bed. It's already tomorrow morning. I know that in the Philippines, Brother Jing Batak sometimes gets up in the morning and he watches our evening service live streamed. It's already 7 in the morning there. It's 6 o'clock here at night. So they're done their day. They've gone to bed. But it's good to know that folks have gotten saved over there. And friends, you may never know about the fruit. You may never see the increase. But one day you're going to get to heaven and somebody's going to say, hey, I got saved because you put a John in Romans over in some foreign country and you empowered a missionary by giving your missions dollar. And praise God, that goes to our... Somebody's going to get blamed for that. I hope it's me. I hope we get the credit somewhere. God's giving increase. But we just have to keep sowing. Don't get weary about it. Just keep sowing. I want to give you this morning the context. And then I'm going to give you the caution. And then I'm going to give you the challenge of this promise. The challenge is at the end. It's the exciting part. It's the thing that we need to focus on this morning. But let's get the context first. You know, somebody has said this, that Scripture taken out of context becomes pretext for whatever you want it to say. How many of you have ever heard somebody say Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 in a soul winning thing and it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And they say, that's Jesus Christ knocking on your heart's door wanting to save you. That's baloney. That's Jesus standing outside the church saying, you've put me out and I want back in. I want a fellowship with my children. And so we take things out of context. And boy, it sounds good, doesn't it? Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. It's unbiblical, though, and so we need to keep in context. Go back to verse 1 with me this morning as we look at the context. There's three things that the apostle is talking about to the church of Galatia. We find the first in verses 1 through 3. The context is this: Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I have summarized those first three verses, and we're talking about context today. We have to think about this, our investment in others. Our investment in others. That's what this is talking about, isn't it? If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so we consider how we are supposed to help others. And if a man is fallen into sin, if a man is overtaken in a fault, we which are spiritual, underline that word in your Bible, spiritual. Be careful, because we need to invest, first of all, with kindness. The Bible uses the word meekness. We are to come kindly. We're trying to encourage. The word meekness and kindness means to put your arm around, to come alongside, to encourage. We come in the spirit of meekness and try to help that person. And by the way, sometimes it's not always pleasant. But we have to do the biblical and the right thing. Matthew chapter 18 says that we are to challenge somebody that's taken over in a fault, and we are to go to them, and if that doesn't work, then we are to go with another, a witness, and if that doesn't work, we are to take it to the church, and if he won't hear the church, we're to put him out of the church. You say, boy, that sounds harsh. But it's all with the spirit of, we want to try to restore you. And if all that works is putting you out and letting the devil bash you around for a while, if that's what God has to do to get your attention, then so be it. But our attitude through the entire process ought to be, we're trying to help you, we want to love you, we want to encourage you in the spirit of meekness. But look what it says, be careful as we think about investing with kindness. Listen, it is not our job to look down upon somebody because of sin. Instead, we're supposed to restore them. Now, there's a sin problem as a whole, and we're going to preach against that. And we're going to preach the word of God and truth about sin. But when a man is overtaken in a fault, we are supposed to try to help them. Listen, when a brother is overtaken in a fault, it's no different than when a sinner is, and the sinner will go and preach the gospel to them. So a brother, we're supposed to try to restore. So restore, first of all, in kindness. Invest with kindness. Secondly, invest with caution. Now, the Bible says you have to be spiritual. Why? Because the Bible also says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, what if I were to find out, and please, you understand, I'm just using an illustration. If I were to find out that Brother Matt Forth here was a flaming alcoholic, what if we found out that every Friday night he was down at the tavern and he staggered home and had to leave his car there, and his dad had to come pick him up from Port Dover and drive him home and get him into bed, and he'd throw up through the night because of his drunkenness, and on Sunday morning he'd wear sunglasses to church because the lights were hurting his hangover and all kinds of things. And what if we were to find that out? Do you think it would be wise to send a recovering alcoholic to help him? Wouldn't probably be a good idea, would it? If somebody said, Pastor, you know what, I'm struggling myself, and I got saved, and I've gotten baptized, and I've joined the church, but you know, boy, I still want to drink, and maybe it's not a good idea to send that person to the motel and pull him out on Saturday night. The Bible says, let ye which are spiritual, one. The word spiritually means filled with the Spirit, but also having the ability to conquer sin. And secondly, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's other people we can send. Amen? Now, sometimes, if somebody's been recovered long enough, they might be the best help. They know where they've been, and they can maybe pull them up and help them and strengthen them in some way. But listen, let's not put them in the place of temptation. Let's be careful of that. And so consider yourself. Listen, when you volunteer to help somebody, make sure that you're not going to get tangled up in it. Make sure that you're reading your Bible. Make sure you're spiritual enough that you're actually able to do some good and to help that person. Sometimes the best advice I've ever given somebody is this. They come to me for help, and I can honestly say to them, listen, I don't know much about that, but I can find somebody that does. We don't have to be supermen, do you know that? We don't have to do everything. Sometimes the best advice you can, sometimes people come to me and they'll say, Pastor, you know, what do I got to do to sell my house? I say, get a realtor. Don't ask me. Pastor, I'm in a legal problem. What do I do? Get a lawyer. You don't want my legal advice. Good night. I charge more than they do anyway. But can you imagine? People do that. I understand. I do the same thing. I go to, usually because it's more cost effective to go to somebody and say, hey, I need some advice on this and I have no problem with that. And if they say to me, well, maybe you better get a lawyer or talk to a realtor or talk to somebody who knows, then that's what I'm probably going to do. So make sure that you're able to actually invest something in the life, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2, we are to invest with kindness, we are to invest with caution, but we are also to invest with caring. Invest with caring. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Do you know one of the greatest character flaws you can have? The greatest character flaw I think somebody can possess is this, the inability to say no. You say, well, I'm sick of being taken advantage of, and I'm sick of... Listen, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. My wife showed me a picture last night of Fred and Jim and a whole bunch of their boys out helping somebody move. And I can imagine that some days they go, man, I wish I didn't have a trailer that everybody wants to borrow. But I know they're servants' hearts, and I know that they're probably glad that they got a trailer they can go help somebody move. And sometimes we get that, and somebody will call the church and say, Pastor, can you come help with this? Yep, we'll be there. They don't know what our schedule's like. They don't know how busy we are. There's other people. We know. If we call them, we know they're going to say yes, and then we feel bad. We say, now listen, I always preface it. Be careful. Make sure you're not too busy. Make sure you got time. But every time they say yes. Man, that's a good character flaw. Because we're saying, I'm going to put my thing secondary because I want to be a help and a blessing to you. So the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. And then the Bible says in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Don't think you're too good to help. Roll up your sleeves and get dirty. Somebody said this, people don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care. And I think that's the principle we get today. So the context, first of all, is our investment in others. Let's tie it together. What we invest in others is sowing, and we're going to reap in kind. The golden rule is summarized out of Matthew chapter 6. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's what we need to live by. And when we're investing, we are sowing into others. The second thing we invest in is this, our investment in service. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Sowing and reaping, remember the context. First of all, we sow into the lives of others, but now we're to sow into the ministry. We're to do something for God. Listen, let me ask you this. What are you doing for God? We expect so much from God, don't we? We really do. There are times where we expect more from God than we do at other times. When we are sorrowing, we expect the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When there's a financial need, we expect God to provide for all of our needs according to His riches and glory. When we are tired and down and there's still work to be done, we expect God to provide strength for us. But let me ask you this, if God's economy is sowing and reaping, what are we doing for Him? What are we investing? The Bible very plainly says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Every man shall bear his own burden. God has something for you to do. Listen, I don't know about you, friends, but that ought to give your life some value. Knowing that God wants to use your vessel. He wants to do something with your life. That ought to give you some self-esteem. That ought to give you some... So many people... A friend of mine, Brother Scott Cowell, he runs Reformers Unanimous down in Bridgeport, Michigan. They have 7 homes for men. And these men actually live in these homes, and every day they do Bible together, and they go to work, and they have to actually fund their own place. And then there's another home for ladies as well. And I said to them, Brother Cowell, I said, how, there must be times in that home you got 7 or 8 men who are addicted to different substances, and it must be a real challenge. And he says, well, here's what we do. He says, they get up in the morning and we do Bible together. They go to work all day, he says, because they have to pay to take care of the home, and we give them self-worth by doing that. He says, but when they come home at night, he says, last week we put a new roof on the church. He says, the week before that, he says, we cleaned all the buses. The week before that, we cut the lawns. And he says, we believe this, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so we keep them busy about the Lord's work. He says, you can't imagine how much joy they have just because they're busy for God. I wonder today if we have the joy that we need because we're doing what we should be for the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so we are to invest in service. The third thing is this, and we're thinking of the context. Remember, you reap what you sow when you invest in others. You reap what you sow when you invest in service. The third one is investing in ministry. Now, you say, is that not the same? But look what the verses say. The Bible says in verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So we are to support the ministry. Does that make sense? He who is taught in the word is to communicate, now here's just an illustration, to him that teacheth in all good things. And so, I don't like talking about this, but I'm just going to give it to you quickly. Philippians chapter 4 talks about how Paul was on the mission field, and he said, no man communicated with me. He says, but now you have the means, you've started communicating with me again. What he meant is, you gave me an offering, you took care of my needs. At Bethel Baptist Church, we pay the pastor. We take care of his needs. And I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that. Faith Baptist Church, the church was very good about taking care of our needs. But listen, when I'm talking about investment in ministry, it's not just financial. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says the word here, communicate, literally means to take care of financially. But the word here, I believe, also is like Moses and Aaron praying for leadership. Holding up the arms. Or Moses Aaron's arms. And they were holding up Moses' arms as he shouted for the battle, and they were upholding him and praying for the leadership. Listen, we need to encourage our leadership. We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to financially support our missionaries. They are those that communicate the word. They're teaching the word. And so we are the church. And it's our job to take care of them. Do you know, I never ever get discouraged when somebody comes and says, Pastor, I'd love to give that missionary $1,000. Do you think it's too much? Somebody else, I've heard that before. Do you think it's too much? It's never too much. Don't worry about it. Just go ahead. If that's what the Lord said, you better go and do it. Pastor, I think that missionary needs this. Can I take care? Go ahead and take care of it. Because you reap what you sow. Amen? God's going to take care of you because you're taking care of them. And so, listen, do you know that your missions dollars, we talk about them being sacrificial giving? It's an investment. You are sowing. You are giving because God's going to give a return. Now listen, we don't give to get. But when we give, God gives back. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us all about it, doesn't it? God loveth a cheerful giver. He that soweth sparingly shall reap how? Sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You say, well, how does that work? I don't understand how I can give it all away and God. That's because God's involved and God takes care of your needs. So the context today is sowing and reaping. When we invest in others, whatever we sow into them, we're going to reap. Whatever we sow into service, we're going to reap. Whatever we sow into ministry, we're going to reap. God's going to take care of us. Let me give you secondly the caution this morning. Look at verse 7. The first caution is this, be not deceived. There's the risk of deceiving yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, sometimes the devil likes to tell us, why do you keep serving the Lord? Why do you show up every Sunday morning at 8:30 on a Sunday morning in the freezing cold to make sure the buses are running, and you're going out all over in the icy conditions to pick up these little kids, why bother? Isn't that what the devil chirps in your ear? When it's still dark when you're getting up? It's Sunday. Aren't you supposed to sleep in on Sundays? It's Sunday and it's 30 below zero. It's Sunday and that stinking Ford's not going to start anyway. Man, we'll be glad to get rid of that thing, won't we? Man, all the deacons are shouting amen in their hearts right now. And the devil just says, Sunday school, why? We see kids come, and 10 years later, we read about them in the police blotter. Why? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. That's the devil. The risk here involved in putting your heart on the line for the Lord Jesus Christ is the devil wants to stomp all over it. He wants to take the joy from your heart. You remember the parable of the sower. It says that some came in the birds and they plucked it away. And weeds came out and choked some out. That's absolutely true. That happens. But you know, the Bible also says some found good ground. And we rejoice in that. And when it comes forth, it bringeth forth fruit. We just need to trust that God's way still works. You know, we get criticized all the time around here. Well, Pastor, that door knocking doesn't work anymore. Acts chapter 20, verse 20 says they went house to house and proclaimed the gospel publicly. That's what they did. And it worked for them. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. Preaching the gospel from a pulpit doesn't work anymore. You need to have dialogue in small groups. And the Bible says by the foolishness of preaching, some were saved. But we just got to keep doing it God's way. Don't be deceived. Don't let the devil, don't let the world try to tell you it doesn't work anymore. God says you just keep sowing and in due season you'll reap. But don't you faint. Keep going. The second caution is this. You have the risk of deceiving yourself, but you have the risk of disrespecting God. The word God is not mocked. The word mocked there means to turn your nose up to God. I wonder how many times we labor and we work and we finally just turn to God and say, God, I'm tired of it. It doesn't work. You're mocking God. And God says, I will not be mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Do you know that the promises of the Bible are often questioned? Jesus said he would come again, and they say in 2 Peter, where is the promise of his coming? There's mockers and scoffers in the end times. But of this I know also, that if God says we sow, that one day we'll reap, the devil's going to question that. But God is not mocked. He is faithful to his word. And he says, if you sow it, and if you sow it faithfully, and you sow it with the right heart, you're going to reap. Just keep being faithful. If there's anything I want you to get out of the message today is this, just keep going. Keep serving, but keep sowing. Listen, do you know that according to God's promise, the only person who doesn't reap is the person who doesn't sow? That's the truth of it. I told you about a fellow by the name of Cody Crevar. He goes to Faithway. And for years, Cody struggled with drugs and all kinds of different abuses of his body. And one Sunday, after the preaching service, he walked over and he stood right beside me. He said, Pastor, I think it's time I got saved. I'd preached the message. I'd given the invitation. He didn't come forward. I just knew he was going to, but he didn't. He come back finally. He said, I think it's time I get saved. And so I said, just a minute. And I called another man over. I said, would you take Cody back to my office? He wants to be saved. He said, no, Pastor, wouldn't you love to have been the one to hear him pray the sinner's prayer? Let me say this. It is more important that he gets saved than it be I that lead him to the Lord. I had preached. I had given the invitation. He was under conviction of the Holy Spirit. He realized he needed to be saved. And I thought, I've done that 1,000 times with him before. Maybe somebody else can give a different voice. Maybe somebody else can say, hey, what the preacher is preaching, it's the same thing I believe. It's the same thing the Bible teaches. It was more important they got saved. Listen, do I count that as reaping? Absolutely. I got the joy of seeing his mother stand out in the hallway weeping as he was praying the sinner's prayer. I got the joy of seeing Cody come up lit up ear from ear. I'm saved and I know it. That's reaping. I got to taste the fruit whether I got to be there to cultivate it or not. Just keep sowing. Just keep being faithful. My wife prayed for her stepdad for 25 years before he got saved. She's glad she didn't quit after 24 and a half. You see, we got to keep going. We got to keep pressing forward. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't give up on God. The caution is the risk of deceiving yourself, the risk of disrespecting God, and it's also the risk of destroying your life. Look at the Bible says in verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Do you know that if you're not sowing to the things of God, you're probably sowing to something? How many of you ever heard the expression, they need a little time to sow their wild oats? You ever heard that? Boy, that's wicked. That's worldly. We are to sow unto righteousness. We are to sow seeds of kindness. We are to sow into the ministry. We are to sow into others. We are to just keep sowing in good things. Because if we are not doing what God wants us to do and we get out of the will of God, we start sowing to the flesh. And the Bible says of the flesh, you'll reap corruption. You'll ruin your life. It comes down to this question. Are you going to live for self or are you going to live for God? If you're going to live for self, you'll end up losing your life. And then we see the challenge comes forth in the second part of verse 8. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's an eternal force that is wrestling. It is the Spirit of God and it's the Spirit of the world. It's the Spirit of God in flesh. It's the Spirit of God in carnal man. And the Bible says if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Keep going for God. Here's your cautions. The first one is this: be careful what you're sowing. You're going to reap what you sow. Be careful what you're sowing. Young people, when you're out on a Friday night, you be careful what you're sowing. Older people, when you're out on a Friday night, be careful what you're sowing. When you're sitting in the coffee shop and gossiping, what are you sowing? When you run into each other at the grocery store and you start complaining about other people in the church, what are you sowing? Let's be careful what we sow, because what you sow is what you're going to reap. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, the challenge here today is let's be careful. Let us think about the seed we are planting. Let's be careful about what we are sowing. I know the Weidricks have a seed mill. Some of the young people work there, and I know they had a problem with one of their companies. And Phil's going to, if you look back, you'll see his ears start turning red here in about 2 seconds. And they were angry because the germination rate of the seed was about a 1% off or something. It wasn't a big deal, wasn't much. But because of it, they just want to throw everything aside. And I was talking to Marvin yesterday and Phil, and I mean, they know that the company's just doing what they got to do, but it's frustrating. You work all year, and Marvin says, you know what? He says, if I was in the position, I guess I'd do the same thing, because I want the seed to yield what it says it's going to yield. What you're sowing, you're going to reap. It's like I said before, you wouldn't want to throw seed out there and think you're getting back something else and not know what you're planting. Have you ever done that? Just taking some seed and just going to throw it out there and say, well, we'll have a mystery what we're going to eat this winter. Boy, that wouldn't be no good. You might get all asparagus or something. I don't know. But be careful what you're sowing. We may not be able to tell the difference between the type of seed, but I'm telling you what, you can tell what you're saying. You know how you're treating others. Be careful what you're sowing. Verse 9 teaches us this: continue steadfastly in well-doing. Keep going. Let us not be weary. Boy, it's so interesting, isn't it, that the Holy Spirit chose the word weary? Because I think that's the word we'd probably use to describe. If I was a, Brother Weidrich, how do you feel after teaching that Sunday school class for 43 years? Weary. Maybe weary. How do you like driving that bus every Sunday morning for the last 87 Sundays in a row? I'm weary. I'm weary. And the Bible says, listen, don't be weary, because what you're doing is well doing. And in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. I've told you about my pastor in Springfield, Missouri. He was the sixth pastor in just 10 years of the church's history. He's been there now for over 25 years, and he took a little church from 80 people, and he built a church building that would hold 200. The very first Sunday, they had to put out chairs, and they didn't know what they were going to do. Now we went back a couple years ago, passing through on our way to Texas, and they have a beautiful 550-seat auditorium full. And for years, he labored. For the first 7 or 8 years, he says, I had 80 people when I started. I got 80 people today. He says, we lose some, we gain some, but we never seem to grow. Now God is blessed. He said, I'm sure glad I didn't quit after 6 years. Man, just keep going. Keep sowing. Keep doing the right things. Don't be weary in well-doing. Verse 10 gives us something else. If we are going to prioritize where we do our well-doing, look what it says in verse 10. As we have therefore, in other words, because of these things, therefore, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do you know that your best friends ought to be in this room right here? The people that you treat ought to be right here. You ought to be going out of your way to help one another, love one another. You say, why? Because that's your family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of the household of faith. And so where are we going to sow? We're going to sow right here. Now, we're going to take gospel tracts and we're going to go downtown and we're going to sow out there as well. But we need to sow right here. And you say, why? Because, do you know, for a lot of people, this is their support system. I can't understand sometimes people move away and they'll say, well, where are you moving? And they say, well, help me find a pastor, a church pastor. And so I'll go look up some churches and I'll say, you know, the closest church is a couple hundred miles away. Do you think this is a wise move? Well, I wouldn't want to move anywhere there isn't a good church. That's our support system. That's what feeds us. That's good night. I wouldn't want to be any further from. How many would you like to live 100 miles away from the closest grocery store? You wouldn't even think about that, would you? How many of you would live 100 miles away from the closest school for your kids? You wouldn't even think about that. Why? Because those things feed us. They nurture us. They help us. They grow us. The church is your number one priority. That's where we sow. So let's invest in the things of God. Let's invest in the Lord. Can I encourage you to do this, friends? Some of you need some work to do. Somebody nod. Some of you need something to do. You come in the church every week, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm glad to shake your hand. I'm glad to see your smiling face. You need something to do. Because when you're doing something for the Lord, you're investing. And you're going to reap one day. And I'm not saying I need you to do something because I need less things to do or somebody else needs to be relieved of a burden, although that does help. I'm saying because it's to your benefit. The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. That just makes sense. So get involved with the things of God. Let me read the promise to you one more time. And if you're down in your heart today and you're weary and you're discouraged, I want you to write this verse in your mind and don't ever forget it. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't quit. Keep going. God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, help us today and speak to our hearts. And Father, would you cultivate some workers from among us? Lord, we need your help. We need more laborers. For the harvest is ripe. And we pray to the Lord of the harvest today, like Jesus taught us, to send forth laborers into the harvest. So Lord, would you move and speak to hearts today, we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll have you stand to your feet this morning. Pastor McDonald's going to come and lead the invitation as we have a baptism in a moment. If God has spoke to your heart, this altar is open even now. Would you come?
Amen. That was a good message this morning. God is not mocked. We do reap what we sow. And I like how it was put. You're only helping yourself if you sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. If God spoke to your heart this morning, don't be weary. Follow through with your commitments to the Lord. You'll never regret it. If God has burdened you with something right now, I don't know what it is, why not come forward this morning at the invitation time? Some have come. There's room for you. Make a commitment to the Lord. Follow through. Sow to the Spirit.